Case number 12-1309 et al. Mississippi Commission on Environmental Quality Petitioner versus Environmental Protection Agency et al. Part A. Issue. EPA's interpretation of non-attainment argued by Ms. Edge. EPA designation of Utah County, Utah as unclassifiable argued by Ms. Cooley. EPA designation of 15 counties as attainment argued by Mr. Ukiley. EPA designation of DeSoto County, Mississippi as non-attainment argued by Ms. Hodges. EPA's response argued by Ms. Dawson.
All right, we begin with Ms. Edge arguing the position of Delaware and Connecticut, correct?
Yes. May it please the court? My name is Valerie Edge. I represent Delaware Denrec, and I'm arguing on Connecticut and Delaware's behalf. To understand how badly EPA erred, one has to appreciate the disconnect between Delaware and Connecticut's attainment designations and the state's ability to attain the national ambient air quality standard that the designations trigger. A measurement of non-attainment means the air quality is unhealthy, and the area must apply Clean Air Act statutory provisions to reduce pollution within the non-attainment area. When EPA fails to designate the areas producing the majority of the pollution impacting Delaware and Connecticut as non-attainment, EPA places those areas beyond the reach of the Clean Air Act requirements to reduce pollutions. It places them beyond the non-attainment provisions, and it shields them from the statutorily required reductions necessary for Delaware and Connecticut to attain. In other words, EPA dooms Delaware and Connecticut to fail to attain, subjects about 4.4 million people living within their boundaries to continued exposure to unhealthy air, despite their Delaware and Connecticut taking extensive and expensive efforts to reduce in-state air pollution. EPA's designations, when they are based on erroneous interpretations of the Clean Air Act, thwart the purpose of the statute to achieve healthy air quality, are unreasonable and they're unlawful. Congress explicitly required EPA in the 1990 amendments to disregard political boundaries in the designation process by requiring non-attainment boundaries for more polluted areas to be at least as large as the consolidated metropolitan statistical areas. The Clean Air Act only allows those boundaries to be reduced if an analysis showed that some portion of that consolidated metropolitan statistical area does not contribute negatively to the ambient air quality based on an array of factors. EPA's guidance and process using consolidated metropolitan statistical areas as the largest and only allowing them to be expanded based on those factors is unreasonable, and it turns the statute on its head.
Do you think it's unreasonable to start with the MSA?
No, I don't. As long as EPA is willing to consider including within the non-attainment areas all the areas that contribute to the non-attainment. EPA further consistently misstates and misinterprets the designation statute to require
it. Doesn't it have to be a nearby area according to the statute?
It does, Your Honor, and it should be areas that are nearby enough to significantly or contribute at all to the non-attainment within the boundaries.
Do you agree the word nearby is ambiguous, don't you?
Yes, Your Honor. This court has held that it's ambiguous. And indeed, you're going to hear from Indiana later, who's complaining about a few counties being included as non-attainment, when Indiana contributes 2% to Sussex County, Delaware's non-attainment, and yet Sussex County contributes 6%. They're nearby enough to impact our air quality by a third.
What is the furthest state that you want included in the attainment area, in the non-attainment area?
Your Honor, geography is not my forte, and I have a list of the states, mm-hmm. but I can't tell you which
one. Tell me the list of the states you think should be included in the area.
If you would give me a moment.
Sure.
The District of Columbia and Maryland, who also requested a large non-attainment boundary, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky.
Wait, you want Indiana and Illinois?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you think that is comes within the meaning of the word? You think it's unreasonable for for EPA to think that Indiana is not nearby to Delaware?
Well, if you're looking at contiguous arguments, all these states are one contiguous block.
But still, could California be nearby?
California is not nearby enough to contribute to Delaware's air quality, so I don't believe it's nearby.
But if it did, would it then be nearby?
The act is written in a manner that it can be construed broadly.
It could be, and we said it, that your position was could be a sensible one, but we're in Chevron Step 2 land here, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So the question is not whether your position is reasonable. The question is whether the agency's position is reasonable. Maybe in some other administration, somebody from Delaware might be the head of the EPA, and they might read the word nearby as you do, but that's not the question. The question is whether EPA is unreasonable in its interpretation, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. And what's not reasonable is failing to include areas that contribute 94% to 86% of the pollution that causes our unhealthy air quality. We have a statutory obligation to attain, but the way the statute is structured is to only require the non-attainment reductions from within the non-attainment area. So when EPA refuses to give meaning to that portion of the statute that says include nearby areas, they didn't even include all of Maryland. There are counties, there's a county 5 miles upwind of that Seaford monitor that's designated as attainment by EPA.
So isn't it inherent in deciding what's nearby that there's going to be, at least there's going to be the possibility that there will be areas that do contribute but that aren't nearby?
And that is, when you get to substantial contribution from areas that are not nearby, that's when you get to the transport provisions. Because the transport provisions, Section 126 and 110, are intended to address contribution from areas that are not nearby. And EPA is going to tell you that that's what is supposed to address all contribution, but I have in my hand a request dated December of 2013 asking EPA to expand the ozone transport region, which they have 18 months to respond to and are supposed to take notice and comment on before they respond, and we haven't heard one word and we have not seen one public notice. And I have in this hand a December 2008 126 petition, which EPA extended its timeline to reply to and then promptly ignored. EPA puts us in a position where we cannot address the non-attainment pollution, yet we're required to attain and we're penalized for failing to attain.
Other questions from the bench? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear next from Ms. Cooley from the Environmental Petitioners, right?
Yes.
Particularly on behalf of Wild Earth Guardians.
Yes. May it please the Court, Robin Cooley for the Environmental Petitioners. There is no dispute in this case that there is a serious ozone pollution problem in the Uinta Basin. EPA in 2009 required monitoring of this area, and those monitors have shown 3-year averages that are well above the standard that EPA has set to protect public health. EPA has determined that these monitors are reliable and of good quality, and they've insisted that other federal agencies rely on them. But when it came time to make the ozone designations, EPA stuck its head in the sand and ignored what it knows is happening on the ground. And as a result, this highly polluted area is under no legal obligation to come up with a plan to get back into compliance with the Act. And unless this Court overturns EPA's decision, that situation will persist indefinitely. I'd like to address...
Can I ask about that?
Sure.
The EPA's brief says that they now have certified monitors in the area. Is that right?
That's correct.
So it won't go on indefinitely. It'll just be till the next cycle. Is that right?
Maybe, maybe not. So under the Clean Air Act, if there is new data and new regulatory data becomes available, EPA may redesignate the area.
That's if you file a redesignation petition or something.
Right.
But then there's also a regular review every, I can't remember how many years, 5 years or something that has to be done.
I'm not aware of any legal requirement that they review this on a regular basis. So unless EPA changes the standard, in which case there is a three-year time frame that kicks in. And again, EPA is considering changing the standard, but we don't know if they will. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if EPA will, in fact, redesignate based on the new regulatory monitoring. I'd like to briefly address the two arguments that EPA gave for rejecting this data. And the first is that admittedly reliable data can't be used for a non-attainment designation. And the second is that EPA's post hoc argument that the data is incomplete. So with respect to reliability, EPA is elevating form over substance. These are monitors that EPA itself required, that EPA ensured would be reliable by very specific terms in the consent decrees, and that EPA has in fact concluded are reliable and of good quality. And they're showing violations that are way above the standard. It's not a close call. But EPA hasn't provided any rational explanation for disregarding that data. They've said that not all of the procedural boxes of Part 58 have been checked, and those are the requirements that apply to state monitoring networks. But what they haven't shown is that the lack of those checked boxes in any way calls into question their own conclusion that the data was reliable, or that the lack of these checked boxes demonstrates that the area isn't actually way over the standard. So our position is that EPA can't set such a heightened standard under the Clean Air Act that it defeats Congress's intent by ignoring sound, available information that clearly demonstrates a very real threat to public health. EPA's second argument is that the data is incomplete. And this argument showed up for the first time in their briefs and should be disregarded on that basis alone. It is also inconsistent with their own regulations.
What's the you may be right, but there's a document, JA-2284, where I thought that the EPA set forth this notion that the data is incomplete.
JA-2284. That is their response to our petition for reconsideration.
Okay.
And they said... They mentioned that there were 3 years of data, or 26 months of data, mm-hmm. but they did not say that that was a reason they were rejecting the data.
So I thought that they made the point at 2284 that quality assurance data is only available for August 2009 through January 2010.
Exactly. So. That goes back to the point about quality assurance as opposed to whether the data is complete. They were saying there's not enough quality assured data, not that there's not enough total data.
Okay.
And what I'm talking about was the total data. So the argument that it's incomplete is also inconsistent with their regulations, and that this is found at 40 CFR Part 50 Appendix P, and Section 2.3C clearly requires EPA to consider years with less than complete data if the fourth highest value for that year results in an average over 3 years that is above the standard. And that's exactly the situation that we have here. For these reasons, we ask the court to vacate EPA's designation of the Uinta Basin as unclassifiable.
Further questions from the bench? Thank you. We'll hear next from Mr. Euclid for the environmental petitioners, particularly the Sierra Club.
Good morning. May it please the court, Robert Ukiley on behalf of Sierra Club. I'd like to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal, if I may. Our issue is that there are 15 counties in which 10 million people live, if you include the MSAs, where the data indicates that the air is above the level that EPA believes is safe. Yet EPA designated these areas as attainment. In another section of the brief, not the part of the brief talking about our case, EPA says EPA has no discretion as to whether it can designate Newcastle and Sussex counties as non-attainment. The monitors in those counties did not meet the NAAQS. So EPA is admitting that it has no discretion where there are violating NAAQS to designate an area attainment. But that's exactly what it did for the 15 counties that we're concerned with. That no discretion comes from the plain language of the statute, and this court has held the same in the ATK launch case at page 334. So the only way for EPA to get out of this is to claim it's administratively impossible to use the 2009 to 2011 data. It can't claim, or any claim that it's a policy decision would run into Chevron step one and would be contrary to this court's prior holdings. So in terms of the administratively impossible to do that, we know that that's not the case. And we know that because EPA used the 2009 to 2011 data in doing its designation for Chicago. It was less convenient for EPA, but it's not impossible. And again, in this particular setting, EPA's desire for convenience or for more time to make its decisions isn't permissible because of the plain language of the statute, because EPA admitted it has no discretion because of the prior holding of this case. So EPA makes much of the February 29, 2012 deadline that it set for submitting the certification for the 2009 to 2011 data. But that date is, again, not to ensure compliance with the statute, because it's not 120 days before their decision or even before the district court order deadline. Rather, that date, again, is set for convenience of the agency. Basically, they wanted at least 60 days between getting the data, or sorry, not getting the data, they already had the data, getting the certification and making their final decision. Whereas they could have used 30 days, they could have gotten the certification on May 1st and made their final decision on May 31st, which is the district court order deadline. But they chose to have the 60 days, and again, they admit that they don't actually have that discretion to use a process that results in areas with violating monitors being designated attainment. I quickly want to address the petition for reconsideration. We filed an administrative petition for reconsideration. EPA denied that. That issue is also on appeal. One of the grounds that EPA provided in its denial of that is that we could go elsewhere, that we could file a petition for rulemaking. I think you alluded to that. So we actually did file that, and EPA denied that, and it's in the Federal Register at 79 FR.
This is for redesignation, is that what you're saying?
Correct. We asked that 14 of the 15 counties be redesignated in a petition for administrative rulemaking, and EPA denied that, even though it had told us earlier that that was the procedural mechanism.
Okay, that has not been appealed yet, or has not been appealed at all.
That has not been appealed, correct.
On the reconsideration, are we not stuck with the standard of review that we set out in AT&T Corporation based on the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers has to be the clearest abuse of discretion?
Yes. But again, because our issue is a Chevron Step 1 issue, and because at the time of our petition for administrative reconsideration, the data was certified, so EPA's stated reason no longer exists. They have no reason other than that they said that there was this other procedural mechanism, then they subsequently deny.
Further questions from the bench? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll now hear from Ms. Hodges, the state and county petitioners on the Mississippi issues.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Donna Hodges. I'm here on behalf of the Commission on Environmental Quality for the state of Mississippi. My director told me that should take about 2 minutes of my time to get that out with my southern drawl. Your Honor, DeSoto County, Mississippi, is in a position that's directly opposite to some that you've heard this morning already. DeSoto County is located directly south of the Memphis metropolitan area. And the northern portion of the county was designated as non-attainment. Like some of the other states, particularly in the Chicago metro area, DeSoto County, at the behest of EPA, certified its data early. And showed that the monitors in DeSoto County were, in fact, in attainment. In fact, they've always been in attainment. Under the old standard, they were in attainment. Under the new standard, they're in attainment. The emission values continue to trend down. And the monitor under the old data that was out of attainment was in the Fraser monitor in Shelby County, Tennessee. Since that time, Tennessee also designated its data early and showed that that monitor was now in attainment. EPA refused to even consider the newer data, the more sound, newest data certified by Memphis and by Tennessee and by Mississippi. Our position is, Your Honor, that that's different from what they did in Chicago. Now, EPA says it's different there because we used the newest data to find areas in non-attainment versus in attainment. Our position is that's backing into the procedure after you've got the result. And as a regulatory agency, we understand and appreciate the need to...
You're saying they didn't announce that policy in advance?
What they did was send out letters saying, if you get your data certified early, we can consider it in this process. And it's my understanding in the Chicago area, they sent out letters saying they would use that data, that newer data, in the Chicago Metro analysis. It's more, Your Honor, than just saying we think you should declare us in attainment, this portion of DeSoto County in attainment. Even if you don't go that far, there's a step in between, and that is they should have used that data just as they did in the Chicago area. Wisconsin certified its data later, and they used that data in their analysis of the old data to determine who was in attainment and who was not in attainment. They wouldn't even consider that newer data in their analysis in the DeSoto County area.
What about the Arkansas data? I take it there wasn't new data for Arkansas.
Arkansas had not certified their data.
And wasn't there EPA's position that they had to have it from all the states that were within the area?
That's right. That was their position.
Right. So why is that an inappropriate position? So, without having attainment data from Arkansas, they can't conclude that the area is in attainment?
They could conclude, Your Honor, that the area is unclassifiable, and they could use that information in the course of their analysis. And that's significant because the fact that Fraser monitor was in attainment absolutely was the critical piece of evidence that, absent the contrary evidence to find an area in non-attainment, that was the piece of evidence that was critical.
Had you argued before that Mississippi should be unclassifiable? I don't remember.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You said they could have called it it's my fault. You said that it could have been designated as unclassifiable. I don't recall that in the brief. Did you make that argument? I'm not saying you didn't. It's a lot of long briefs here, but I don't remember that being the argument.
I think that what we said, Your Honor, is that they could have made a designation other than non-attainment. which could be attainment or could be unclassifiable attainment.
Ambiguous, just like the word nearby.
Yes, sir. And I'm now well into my rebuttal time. And
if Arkansas had submitted and their data showed non-attainment, then what position would you be taking?
I would take the position that EPA should have done exactly what they did in the Chicago metro area, and that is take a little additional time and apply that newest data to their analysis. It may very well be, and we believe and we understand these facts are not in the record because they didn't do it, so we don't have any analysis for DeSoto County and Shelby County on the Crittenden County. There's a reference to it. We cite some and provided them with some evidence from their some of their analysis in the CARE and CASPER process that showed we didn't impact the Crittenden County monitor. And also an Arkansas study that showed we didn't impact the Crittenden County monitor. Certainly not sufficient to warrant the non-attainment designation.
Are there other questions from the bench? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll hear from the EPA. Ms. Dawson.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. My name is Elizabeth Dawson, and my co-counsel, Jessica O'Donnell, and I represent the United States Environmental Protection Agency in this matter. We also have Jan Tierney, counsel for EPA, at counsel's table with us. In accordance with this court's order allocating time, I will be responding to the arguments made by Delaware and Connecticut, the Guardians petitioners, Sierra Club, and Mississippi, and my co-counsel will be responding to the arguments made by Indiana, Texas, and the industrial petitioners. Briefly, I will discuss how EPA reasonably interpreted the word nearby when determining the size of areas that should be part of a non-attainment area, how EPA's decision to designate the Uinta Basin as unclassifiable due to the lack of regulatory quality data was in keeping with its guidance and is similarly reasonable, how EPA's setting a cutoff for the submission of early certified data for use in its designations was a practical way to set a uniform standard for a nationwide rulemaking, and finally, how EPA's designation of a portion of DeSoto County as non-attainment was consistent with EPA's monitoring data policy and its five-factor analysis framework.
How do you answer Wild Earth's position with respect to UNITA? By the way, how do you pronounce
Uinta,
it?
Uinta,
yeah, about considering years with less than complete data.
Well, Your Honor, there are two different regulations. The regulation that I believe counsel for Wild Earth Guardians was citing was Part 50, and the quality assurance and quality certification part is Part 58. So the ability to use incomplete data does not abrogate the need to use quality assured and quality certified data. So even if that part of the regulation that would allow the use of incomplete data had come into effect, it would still have had to have been quality assured and quality certified before EPA would accept it in this rulemaking. Just to give a brief background of the designations process here.
And are the monitors now quality assured in that area?
Well, Your Honor, it is my understanding that the monitors are of regulatory quality. The data itself still has to be quality assured and certified and submitted to EPA each year. And it is my understanding that at the end of this year, EPA will have a full 3 years of data to use.
And at that point, will you consider a petition to redesignate?
EPA considers all petitions that are brought before it. I do not know, however, whether EPA will independently use its discretion to initiate the redesignation process.
Well, I assume their petitioners out here will be interested in filing one. I'm a little concerned about what Sierra Club said about your denial of petition for redesignation in the in their matter. What were the reasons for denying redesignation then, once you had the new information?
Your Honor, it's my understanding that the petition was denied on August 14th of this year. The petition, as far as I understand, was actually brought based not on 2009 to 2011 data, but on 2010 to 2012 data. This reinforces the idea of a never-ending cycle of redesignation. So they petitioned based on 2010 to 2012 data. And while I have not exhaustively studied this response, it's my understanding that the 2013 data indicated that several of those areas were now in attainment. 22 of the 57 areas they petitioned were in attainment for 2013 data. And for the remainder of the areas, they were EPA used its discretion to allow the states to address the non-attainment in the first instance before designating nonattainment.
Can I just ask you one question about Delaware and Connecticut?
Certainly.
Skipping around a little bit, but so do you take the position that nearby can't include the states that are suggested should have been included?
In this particular designation, yes, that nearby would not extend to those.
No, but I mean, are you saying that the statute, you couldn't construe the statutory word nearby to encompass those states? Or are you just saying that we've elected not to construe, as a matter of discretion, nearby in that matter?
I think it would be hypothetical at this point for EPA to think of the arguments that might allow it to interpret the word nearby as extending as far west as Missouri or Arkansas. But in previous designations and in this one, EPA has interpreted the term nearby to not extend that far. There are different interpretations EPA could take, and those would be different cases. But here, nearby did not warrant designation that far west. And that also reinforces the point about the transport rule, and that we understand that Delaware and Connecticut have taken issue with EPA's issuance of the transport rule and ability to implement it thus far. But as this court is aware, the transport rule, EPA is ready to implement it at such a time as it is able. And that, if EPA believes, will help ameliorate the transport problems that do affect Delaware and Connecticut and the Eastern Seaboard. I just wanted to make a brief point about the nature of the designations process that EPA faced in this instance. In Catawba County versus EPA, this court determined that EPA's adoption of a multi-factor totality of the circumstances test to implement this statute without a clear threshold was a reasonable approach to the designations process. And EPA used essentially the same process here, and so that should not be in dispute. Here, EPA reviewed submissions and recommendations from all 50 states, several tribes and territories, reviewed air quality data from hundreds of monitors across the country, and ultimately designated 46 areas as nonattainment after preparing detailed technical support documents as well as voluminous.
What do you say to the argument that your 120-day rule wasn't really set at 120 days, and 120 days isn't really required anyway? All it's required is a back-and-forth process. And that knowing that there's non-attainment data and not taking it just for administrative convenience is not consistent with the statute.
Well, Your Honor, first, it seems that Sierra Club misunderstands the 120-day process. The 120-day clock starts when EPA notifies the state of its intended designation decision. So in this instance, EPA had a court deadline of May 31st. To promulgate its designations. Working backwards from there, EPA determined that if it had an indication from the states that it would have certified data by February 29th, it could accept the early data, initiate the 120-day process by issuing its letters of proposed designations, and then once it received the certified data, finalize those designations. It is important to remember here that this is a nationwide rulemaking. And while in one instance, in the instance of Sierra Club's chosen 15 counties, perhaps EPA could have made an exception, it was reasonable for EPA to set a policy and to be consistent with that policy in making a nationwide rulemaking.
Why couldn't it have a consistent policy that if it had certified data showing non-attainment, it would take it, even if it was a little later? That's a consistent policy.
Well, there are a number of consistent policies EPA could have chosen, but it was not unreasonable.
Their argument is that it's a consistent policy that's consistent with the statutory purpose of trolling non-attainment areas, not just any old consistency.
Well, Your Honor, in this case,
the argument you're making is it's just consistency, which has sometimes been called the hobgoblin of we'll continue without.
Certainly.
The rest of the quotation.
Your Honor, setting the date when it did, EPA had attempted to figure out what was the latest time it could accept that data and still promulgate its designations. When EPA did not have an indication from the states, and including the states that that Sierra Club raises, that it would have that certified data, it could not use that and complete its designations process on time.
When did it get the data?
Well, the deadline for certification is May 1st. Mm-hmm. It is my understanding that is not always when EPA does receive the certified data.
When did it get the data that Sierra Club is talking about?
I am not specifically aware of when EPA received the data from the 15 counties.
But it was before May 31st.
I don't know that either, to be honest, Your Honor.
It had to be.
Yeah.
Well, the deadline.
I don't understand how you can answer this argument without knowing the answer to that question, because.
Well, EPA had the preliminary data in the air quality system. Indeed, that was the data that was submitted. But it based the designations on 2008 to 2010 data. Mm-hmm. So it didn't use the 2011 data in the designations, even if it was certified by May 1st. And that's Sierra Club's.
It was required to be certified by May 31st.
It's required to be certified by May 1st.
Mm-hmm. Why could it not be used then?
EPA simply did not have enough time between May 1st and the May 31st deadline to receive that data, and especially if it had to change its designation, it would have had to start the 120-day process all over again. Moving briefly just to a quick point about Delaware and Connecticut.
Can I just ask you one? Yeah. I'm just a little confused on that. So it would have had to start the 120-day process all over again, meaning that you didn't have 120 days until May 31st.
Right.
But the February 29th day was already less than 120 days.
That's correct, Your Honor. But with the states that did certify by February 29th, EPA had already had information from those states saying, this is the data that we will be certifying, and so EPA could use that data. EPA did not have that assurance from the rest of the states. Mm-hmm. It is a bit confusing with the 120-day clock, I understand. But in this instance, the 120-day clock starts when EPA issues its proposed designation. Then the states initiate the iterative process where they can provide additional comments, but then EPA finalizes after 120 days. With regard to Delaware and Connecticut, I would just briefly say that EPA has interpreted nearby for the purposes of the 2008 ozone NAAQS consistent with its past interpretation, an interpretation already approved by this court, and none of Delaware or Connecticut's arguments suggest that that interpretation has become unreasonable. If the court has no further questions about Delaware and Connecticut, I would just make a quick point about the Uinta Basin, in that, again, with this nationwide rulemaking, EPA set a uniform standard. In its guidance, it stated what data would be necessary to justify a non-attainment designation, because as other petitioners note here, non-attainment designations do have consequences, and it determined that it needed regulatory quality data, and that simply just was not the case for the Uinta Basin. It was the first time, in fact, that such that data of any quality had been gathered for that area. But as I stated, for these past 3 years now, EPA has been, the states have been collecting the regulatory quality data, and EPA will have it going forward.
So is your argument as to that the data actually was poor quality?
Not that it was poor quality, no, simply that EPA set a standard for what the data would be and would need to be for a non-attainment designation, and that data just did not measure up in this instance.
And which exact standard are you talking about?
That it would have to conform to EPA's regulations in Part in 40 CFR Part 50 and 58 regarding the monitoring.
Is it correct that the only way this new data could be considered is in a redesignation petition?
Your Honor, EPA has the discretion to initiate the redesignation process on its own, or states can also, without an independent party filing a petition. With regard to Sierra Club's arguments, again, EPA's determination that to use monitoring data from 2009 to 2011, it must be certified and submitted, was rational and consistently applied. And then finally, moving to Mississippi, for the 2008 ozone NAAQS, EPA maintained its longstanding policy that all monitors in an area must demonstrate attainment for the same three-year period to be designated attainment, but that only one violating monitor would be sufficient to.
Was that policy announced in advance?
Your Honor, it was not specifically laid out in such terms in the guidance, but it was the policy that EPA had applied in the prior ozone designations and in the PM2.5 designations. And EPA is not required to reiterate a policy for each state every time it decides to adhere to it. Here, again, as counsel for Mississippi.
So you say that from the prior ones, somebody could have looked at those and they would have known that that was your policy?
Yes, and
So there were actual incidents that put that policy to the test in the way that this.
No, actually, Your Honor, it had not been ever questioned that it's a common sense policy that EPA would need all of the data from the same period.
Well, I think
period.
The question has been stated in the earlier circumstances that that was the policy.
Your Honor, it has been used as the policy in the prior designation.
When you say used, then to take Judge Srinivasan's question, someone could look at an example in which it was used in that way?
Yes, Your Honor.
Which example was that?
On the prior ozone designations and the PM 2.5 NAAQS. The sites to that are on page 50 of our brief. Here, as counsel for Mississippi stated, EPA had 2009 to 2011 data for Mississippi and Tennessee, but not for Arkansas. And as Judge Srinivasan pointed out, even had EPA had the data for Arkansas, and the preliminary data showed non-attainment, it would have had to have conducted a contribution analysis to determine whether DeSoto County contributed to Crittenden County monitors non-attainment. But in this instance, EPA neither did not promise the states that it would use the 2009 to 2011 data to designate attainment, even if it had been submitted. It left open the state that the states could provide that data, but it didn't promise that if that data showed attainment, it would automatically be designated attainment. Indeed, EPA would still have to conduct a contribution analysis if a different monitor violated. If the court doesn't have any additional questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I know what the answer to this question is, but has anybody saved any rebuttal time? All right. Well, lucky for you, the EPA didn't use all of their time, so we're going to let you have some of theirs. Please confine yourself to 1 minute each, so therefore only answer an argument that EPA itself responded to.
May it please the court, EPA brought up the transport rule. Mm-hmm. The transport rule was intended to address contribution for the 2008 ozone, or the 1997 ozone NAAQS. It was never been shown even that it will achieve enough reductions for us to attain that standard, let alone the additional reductions needed for the newer standard. Also, the court pointed out that the word nearby is ambiguous, and we looked at the furthest reach of the states. But if you look at the graph on page 5, if you look at the contributions
of our
brief, mm-hmm. our reply brief, mm-hmm. the contribution for Sussex County, New Jersey, contributes 19%. Maryland, which is right next door, contributes 16%. Pennsylvania, 15%. New Jersey, or New York, 13%. Virginia, 7%. And Ohio, 6%. Those are all equal to or far exceeding the amount that Sussex County includes. Sussex County contributes to its non-attainment, and EPA, even though it can interpret reasonable, it should not be allowed to ignore the directive to include nearby areas that contribute to non-attainment, and that's what they've done. They've completely ignored it. They acknowledge that there are Maryland counties 5 miles away from that monitor in Sussex County contribute to the ambient air quality, which is the standard that EPA also ignores. It consistently refers to contributes to non-attainment. That's not the standard in the statute. It contributes to the ambient air quality. They admit that they did, and they still designated those counties in Maryland and other large portions of Maryland as attainment or unclassifiable.
Okay, other questions from the bench? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cooley?
Just one response to EPA's statement. EPA is arguing that it needs a uniform standard because non-attainment has significant consequences. And I would just offer two responses. The first is that an unclassifiable designation also has very serious consequences. This is not a decision without consequences for the public health of the people living in the Uinta Basin and the economic impacts of those public health concerns. And the second is that EPA, we're not saying EPA can't set a standard. They can set a standard, but what they can't do is set a standard that's so rigid and inflexible that it defeats Congress's intent by allowing the agency to disregard data that it admits is sound and available at the expense of the public health. Thank you.
From Sierra Club.
Thank you.
I'm not going to use a little of your time. Could you respond to this argument that they would have had to have started the 120-day process over again?
Yes, Your Honor. That's incorrect. Because what they should have done and what they did with Chicago is issue the 120-day letter based on the data that they have, but it's uncertified. And in that, they're in, so in the 120-day letter, they say that they're intending to designate the area non-attainment based on the data that they have, but it's uncertified. Then the data gets certified by May 1st, and then at that point, if the data still, the certification still supports a non-attainment designation, then they go final with their non-attainment designation. That's consistent with the 120-day letter. If the data, and this extremely rarely happens, but if the data at certification shows that the area should be designated attainment, then they make their final decision to designate the area attainment. They don't have to issue a new 120-day letter because they're doing what the state requested. And they only have to issue a new 120-day letter if they're doing the opposite of what the state requested. So, again, Chicago's kind of the model, but it's incorrect to say that they would have had to issue a new letter. The other point I wanted to address is the petition for redesignation. 12 of the 15 counties still were violating based on 2011 to 2013. So that denial, or that basis for the denial, is not relevant to 12 of the other, or 12 of the 15 areas. And then my final point is that another reason that EPA denied the petition for redesignation is they said that they believe that air quality is going to improve in 2018. And that's based on their analysis, which obviously it's technical analysis, but it involves...
Well, not only technical, but we don't have it in front of us at all.
Right. Yeah. So my only point in that is that there'll be a future remedy is that if you look at our standing declarations, there are two Sierra Club members that had to take their children to the hospital because of respiratory problems. So we that deal with air pollution all the time, 2018 may not sound unreasonable, but if you, you know, ask a mom or dad that has to take their kid to the hospital because of respiratory problems, 2018 is just completely outside of anything reasonable. Thank you.
Ms. Hodges.
I apologize. I'd left my brief stuff under the thing here. I wanted to cite for you a footnote in our brief that sets out all the many times that EPA said over and over and over again, if you certify your data early, we will use it. And nowhere did they say that we have this common sense policy that you're supposed to know that we won't use it. And again, it's not just to designate an area non-attainment or just to designate an area attainment. It should be used and could be used and was used in the Chicago area in their analysis, which would determine whether or not there was, in fact, sufficient contribution. And we would submit that that's what they should have done in the DeSoto County case as well.
Questions from the bench? Thank you. All right. I think we're finished with Part A. Is that correct? All right. We're going to take a brief recess while the lawyers reshuffle their positions, and then we'll be right back for Part B.